The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Text, we started this series about 6 weeks ago. If you've missed any of it, we have our podcast, hopehillchurch.org. And there was amazing stuff covered. A lot of you have, over the years, asked many questions like, how do we know that the Bible is God's Word? Can we trust it? Is it reliable? A lot of those questions were answered if you go back and listen to some of those podcasts, especially week three, got into some of the like historical facts and the archaeology behind that proves a lot of the stuff in the Bible. Week three there, you can write down in your notes. By the way, you have notes in your handout if you want to follow along today and take notes. We got some good stuff. Today, we're going to answer the question, how do we study the Bible? And I hope that by the end of today, you've got some good stuff, you've received some challenges, and you're ready to dive in a little deeper, and possibly in a very different way than you have before, into the Word of God. And so let's dive in. A number of years ago, I heard this cool story about this battleship. Any stories involving battleships I think are cool. I wanted to be a pilot when I grew up, you know, shooting things, and that just seemed cool. Anyway, battleships are amazing. And there's this story about this battleship, you know, in this area of the world where it's in the middle of the storm, and it picks up this signal off in the distance. And what is the rank that commands a battleship? Somebody tell me. Okay, a captain. Captain gets on, and he, like, reaches out to whoever the other signal is coming from, and he's like, this is the captain of the USS Montana. We've picked up your signal. Adjust your course 15 degrees to the north. Silence. The captain speaks out again. Again, I repeat, this is the captain of the USS Montana. We've picked up your signal. Adjust your course 15 degrees to the north in order to avoid collision. A voice comes back over the radio. No, you adjust your course. Do you know who you're talking to? This is the second largest vessel in the world. Adjust your course now. The voice comes back and says, sir, this is a lighthouse. Some of you are just getting it. So, a lot of times in life, we need to realize that sometimes we think we're all that. For whatever reason, we're going down life's journey, and we come upon things, and we think things need to move to adjust to our agenda, who we are, and what we're doing. And a lot of times we even think this way when it comes to God and when it comes to God's Word. We get set into certain motions and rhythms, and when we go to God's Word and we're living life a certain way and we see God's Word is kind of in the way, we want to adjust God's Word instead of adjusting our own lives. We come and we read a difficult passage and we're like, yeah, that doesn't really jive with what I think, so let me look and find interpretation to make it mean more what I hope it means. You ever been there? Unfortunately, it happens far too often for many Christians. Is there a right way to read the Bible? We've talked about a lot of things over the last 5 weeks about how to read the Bible, how to study it, how to approach it. Many of us can find ourselves going to the Bible and reading it as a textbook or a rule book, looking for direction for how to run our lives. Others, we go and we look at the stories and the favorite characters, and we look at it as an inspiration or a model to give us as an example for living a godly life. Others take a more mystical approach. I had a friend named Derek in high school who would literally take his Bible and he'd start flipping it, and wherever it stopped, he'd just put his finger in and go, okay, the verse for the day, and Abraham begot Isaac. Amen. Okay, that was great. But some of us are that way. We take the more, we just, whatever God's word pops into my mind, I'll let that shift me and mold me. And then others take the academic approach, where we carefully examine each and every passage, and we try to figure out the original language, the Greek, the Hebrew, and figure out precisely what the authors meant, and we dive in deeply. Most of us cycle through these different styles and approaches to reading the Bible. But what we need to know is that many of us, if we stop in any one of those approaches, we're going to miss something incredible. And that is the truth that the Bible is God's word. And it is not only God's word, it is God's word for us. And when we go to the Bible, we need to read it as if God is speaking to us directly. And a lot of those models that we just kind of highlighted, and you can go back over the weeks and figure out, and I'm not saying any of those are bad, they're all good. But we need to, number one, read the Bible as if it is God's word to us, and we need to read it devotionally. What does that mean? Let's get into that a little bit. What kind of Bible reader are you? How many of you have a Bible reading plan that you follow? Okay, where you have boxes you maybe check off, or you get something sent to you regularly. How many of you had a book that, growing up, had all the famous like Bible stories and characters like David and Goliath? You read out of a book like that growing up, all right? David and Goliath, where kind of the story was, you know, David beat his giant, and therefore in life, if you have enough faith, you can conquer your giants, right? Kind of the moralistic approach to looking at stories in the Bible. How many of you have a verse of a day that pops up in an email or a text message? Okay, all right. And how many of you are really hardcore? You dig in. You've got your commentaries, 10 different versions of the Bible, your Greek, Hebrew, linear study guides. How many of you go that far? One or two of you. Okay. All right. So we need to remember that the Bible is God's word. And no matter what we do, we need to read it devotionally. We need to realize that God calls us to a relationship with him, not just a habit of reading a text and checking off a box. God wants his word to get into us, and he wants us to be devoted to it. What's it mean to be devoted? Devotion is like commitment. It's like a passion for something. When you do something out of devotion, it's not out of a feeling of I have to do this, and if I don't do it, something's going to be wrong. Instead, it's out of a love. And my hope is that you will come to a place where your heart starts to beat for the things of God, where you begin to develop this love and this desire and this passion for God and his word. If you want an example of what this looks like, look at Psalm 119. Make yourself a note. It's really long. I think it's 176 verses, so we don't have time to read it this morning. But Psalm 119 shows a lot for us, and I want you to put either, I think it's written on your notes, circle it, go back and read it sometime. There are two things that stand out about Psalms 119. First of all, it's very much like a love letter to God about his word. The psalmist had a lot to say about this. Over and over again, through this 176 verses, he repeats over and over again how much he loves it, how he desires it. It almost gets to the point to where it's like lust. I mean, you look at some of these words he says. He says in verse 131, I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commands. I mean, that's some pretty... How many of you are like, oh, I can't wait to get the scriptures? Yeah, that's what I thought. But God wants us to desire his word deeply, to crave it. And there are some people in our nation, in our world, that it's illegal for them to have the scriptures. And they've developed this desire to where if they can get their hands on just one part of the Bible, they'll commit it to memory so that they'll never lose it again. Can we begin to get there where we desire God's word that deeply? A passage of scripture we've been referring to over and over again, this one from 1 Peter 2, talks about us longing for the word of God like an infant longs for his mother's milk. Is God's word that for you? Do you desire it? Do you crave it? Does it bring nourishment to you? There are many reasons to read the Bible. For discipling others, for counseling others, for teaching, for learning, for encouraging people. All of this is found in 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, where Paul was encouraging Timothy, saying, all scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the servant of God can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. But if you just leave it there, you miss something. Whatever else you do with the Bible, teaching, counseling, discipling, whatever it is, we cannot fail to read it for ourselves and read it devotionally. As we study the Bible to teach and correct and encourage others, we need to let God's truth saturate every aspect of our mind and penetrate into every area of our life. So how do we do this? I'm going to give you a handful of things. The first one is study devotionally. You got that? That's the first blank. The second one is you have to have prayer and understanding, or prayer in order to have understanding. I got one of the greatest gifts this Christmas. My wife had seen me go out many times into the woods behind us, and if there's an HOA member here, I never said this. But I like going out in the woods and finding trees that have fallen, and I take this axe of mine and I chop up wood. It makes me feel manly, okay? I love fires. I loved fires growing up, not necessarily always outside. I accidentally set my brother's hair on fire once. It wasn't good. But anyway, I would go out into the woods, and I've got these calluses now even, from swinging an axe. Anybody here ever swung an axe? A couple of you? Okay, so swinging this axe and chopping up wood, and all of a sudden, for Christmas, to my surprise, I get this big box, and I open it up, and it's a chainsaw. I was excited, okay? Sometimes the right tools make certain jobs a whole lot easier, right? And the very next day, actually the day, Christmas Day, I'm in the woods running my chainsaw, okay? I didn't cut down any live trees, just some fallen ones, okay? So anyways, using the right tool for the right things is necessary. When we read God's word, the number one tool is prayer. Oh, yeah, a lot of us as Christians, yeah, praying, read the Bible. It's natural. Everybody should do it. But do we really realize it? A lot of us, we've heard about praying and reading scripture. But have you ever really thought about the need to pray while reading scripture? What does that mean? Prayer is not just you saying a few words to God. Dear God, I love you. Open my mind. Teach me. Amen. Praying is an attitude of the heart. Praying is coming before God with openness and in humility, saying not only what you need from Him and you want from Him, but having an openness to say, God, speak to me. I'm getting the 5-minute sign. There's no way I'm getting done in 5 minutes. I will try. Okay. It's not going to happen, but I'll try. Prayer is absolutely necessary for us to understand the Word of God. Let me jump to a couple things. First of all, prayer is an attitude. It's not just words we speak. Prayer should be the is not primarily about us. It's about us seeking the heart of God. Some believe that as we examine the Bible closely enough, if we learn enough Hebrew, if we learn enough Greek, if we consult enough commentaries and texts, if we diagram every passage perfectly, we can arrive at the true meaning of any biblical text. But that is not true. There have been people who have done all of those steps and missed it because they missed the heart of God. We must approach the heart of God through prayer. If we don't go to God with prayer, we miss the power of the Holy Spirit. Proverbs puts it this way: His ways are not our ways. Apart from the Spirit, our human minds cannot understand the mind of God. Paul encouraged us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 when he said these words. However, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, this is a long one. Do we have that? There we go. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him, these things God has revealed to us. How? By His Spirit. Keep going. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received, is not of the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not and cannot, we're going to see that in a minute, accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but instead considers them foolishness. And he cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Plainly put, without prayer and you tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit and letting God's Spirit speak to you, there are going to be things in God's Word that you just won't get. You won't understand them. And we can't apart from him. From the beginning of the world, even Adam and Eve had to depend on God and his Holy Spirit. Even before sin entered the world, they had to depend on the Spirit of God moving. And once sin entered the world, it made it worse. Romans 1:21 says this. As sin came, it says this. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Apart from the Spirit of God, we cannot understand the things of God. We've got to have that point made real in our life. That is why prayer is absolutely essential when we go to study the Bible. It's not just a symbolic gesture. It's not a formality. It taps us into the mind of God. If our Bible study is not saturated in prayer, then we are studying the Bible not the way God intends. The next one, studying the Bible obediently. How many blanks do we have left? How many paths? How many? Three? Okay, I'm going to try to get to all these. We'll make it happen. Studying the Bible obediently. The number one reason for prayer needed is because, again, we cannot obey the Scriptures without the power of the Spirit. We desperately need the Spirit to make our lives align with the truths we are studying. We don't need a bunch of statistics to show that polls taken when people were asked, what do you think about Christians? Then most of the time they say things like, well, they're judgmental, they're a bunch of hypocrites, they don't practice what they preach. And the truth is, unfortunately, a lot of this is true. And we cannot change unless we let the Holy Spirit change us through the Word of God. When you read the Bible and don't follow it, what good is it? What is the value of truth if it doesn't change us? Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He said, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but I have not love, I am a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so as to move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. In other words, if you could amaze people with your ability to speak, if you could understand everything and had more faith than anyone on earth, but if you did not love your neighbor as yourself, then what would be the point? This is why prayer is critical. God gave us his word to make us love like he loves. God gave us his word to make our knowledge translate into loving action. Too many of us study the word of God as if it's simply to gain knowledge. And that gaining knowledge is the sum total of our mission on earth. But according to Paul, this kind of knowledge actually is sinful. Knowledge can be completely worthless and even harmful. 1 Corinthians 8 says, now about the food sacrificed to idols, we know that we possess all knowledge, but knowledge puffs up. It's prideful. It's arrogant. But love builds up. So should we say, okay, well, then I'll stop reading the Bible. It's not about knowledge. No, we need to know the Word of God so that it can change us so we love like God loves. Knowledge enables us to love God and our neighbors more fully. If we're not putting what we know to work in our lives, then the knowledge simply makes us more arrogant. When we come to the Word of God, we should be begging God to show us how to have a deeper love for Him and for others, so that we can take the truths that He reveals to us and put them into practice. If you find yourself studying the Bible and not applying what you're learning, then you're misusing the Bible. So let's start with this question. What do you already know? I've sat in many studies where I've heard people say, you know, I just want to learn something new about God. I want more revelation. How do I get more of that? And many times my question is, what are you doing with what you already know? Many times God wants to make sure we get the easy stuff before he reveals more of the advanced stuff. You know, the stuff like praying, like obeying, like loving your neighbors as yourself, like forgiving others. How are we doing in those areas? We need to begin to evaluate ourselves on what we already know and in light of those commands. And if we find that we're not already having our life adjusted by what we've read already, then maybe God isn't ready to take us into deeper knowledge. Let's keep going. We need to study the Bible with faith. What does this mean? This means that we need to look at the Bible as God's word, and therefore every promise in Scripture is backed by the God of Scripture. Every command in Scripture is coming from the supreme commander of the universe. And we need to look at these things with that kind of weight. One of the greatest handicaps is that we look at the Scriptures and we look at it as a book of great morals and good suggestions instead of words to direct and guide our life. When we read the Bible and don't act as we believe it, we miss it. When we read about judgment for those who do not yet know God and don't believe him, are we moved to compassion? Do we adjust our lives so that those around us come to know God? If we look at the Bible, do we really believe that God forgives? When we read that he forgives in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins to me, I will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If we really read that and believed it, we would walk around with more peace in our life instead of guilt and regret. Things that we've already confessed to God, God's forgiven. And we would also be more willing to forgive as he forgave us. When we read that God works all things together for good and according to his counsel, we need to believe that that's true. Ephesians 1:11 says, in him we were chosen. We have been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity for the purpose of his will. And even when things fall apart, we could have a trust in knowing that God is there leading us and everything is going to come together. When we read that the Holy Spirit empowers us to put to death the deeds in our body that are wrong, then we need to put our complete confidence in that truth and live as people who are empowered by the Holy Spirit. If we're going to study the Bible as the very words of God, we need to believe what it says. The last one. The Bible and transformation. Have you ever heard someone say, wow, that was a great Bible study? Have you ever heard someone say that? Yeah? What do they mean? Do they mean, wow, that person really brought the Scriptures to life? I was entertained by those cool stories that was shared. Is that what they meant? Or did they mean, that was great and it transformed my life? It showed me how I can be more like God. Good Bible study leads to transformation. Sure, it's not all going to happen at once. But over time, as we let the Word of God into our lives, it will transform us. Hebrews 4:12 says this, the Word of God is living and sharper than what? You've heard this verse 3 or 4 times this month. Sharper than any double-edged sword. Piercing to the division of our soul and spirit, what does that mean? It gets into our life. It knows our heart. It knows our thoughts. As we read it, it is reading us. God's word is living and active, and it is something that should be evaluating our life day in and day out and showing us where we're not living the life God calls us to live. Since our God is a living God, his word is alive, and he works through his word to transform us. One of the last passages I want us to look at today is from the book of James. James chapter 1 starts off by saying this, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word of God but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. I know I was that for many mornings growing up, and maybe you have some sons that are like that. Most daughters won't do this, but you'd go into the bathroom and look in the mirror and say, wow, my hair's a mess. Oh, well, you know, and walk out. That's what James is saying here. It's like reading the Word of God and not doing anything about it. It's like looking in a mirror, seeing how bad things look, and doing nothing about it. We need to look into the Word of God and see, wow, that's a mess. I need to change something. And let the Holy Spirit begin to work in our life to bring that change. The person is clearly foolish if they look and they see the truth and walk away, not letting it transform them. Instead, we need to be like, continuing on in that passage, verse 25. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. There is no reward for merely hearing God's truth. Bible study is incomplete and illegitimate if it does not bring life transformation. Are we obeying the Word of God? Why do you study the Word Scripture? Why do you study the Lord's Scriptures? Do you study it so you gain more knowledge to back up some belief that you have? Or do you study it so that it can change you? James followed the powerful metaphor with these words. Let's look a little deeper. This gets into the heart of what next week is all about, our free sale. Verse 26. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. If we look to the Word of God and it doesn't change us, it is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts, verse 27, as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and keeps oneself from being polluted by the world. The words used there are that James says if we don't put the words that we see in God's Word into action in our lives, we are deceiving ourselves. And that kind of religion is worthless. True religion is not about what we can know and what we can do. It's about what God's Word can do through us. And next week, we're going to pause the knowledge dump to go out and to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Because it's not just about having worship services. It's about serving through worship. And when we go out next week to touch the lives of others, we're not just giving away stuff. We are being the love of God and to some people who need it desperately. And my hope and prayer is that next week as you join us, you will live out the Word of God as He is enabling you to be His hands and His feet. How many of you out there helped so far get our free sale ready? A good number of you. Thank you. Margaret, will you stand up? I don't want to single you out in an embarrassing way. Is Kim here today? She might be working hard doing something. Well, I want to say a huge thank you to Margaret and Kim for really being the backbone of organizing this event. Yeah. Margaret's not yet a mother that I know of, okay, that she knows of. But Kim is, and you can have a seat. Thank you, Margaret. They are great examples of what it means to hear the Word of God and then to let it transform them. And their whole, they're a part of the missional team here at Hope Hill Church. That doesn't mean they're on a team to do all the work. They're on a team to help inspire the rest of us to put what we believe into action. When I think about Margaret and Kim Henderson and many of the others in our church who set these examples, I think of Proverbs 31:20. Proverbs 31, the Proverbs 31 woman passage. Proverbs 31:20 says that she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. And that needs to be words for all of us, that we would allow God to use us. His word has been spoken to us to set us free, to discover what it really means to live the kind of life that he has called us to live. And it doesn't matter what way you study the Bible, if you don't capture that, your way is wrong. You need to let God's word get into you so that it can transform you. So I want to close and give you a couple challenges. Will you bow your head and close your eyes with me? I want you to think right now and let the Holy Spirit speak to you right now about your method of studying the Bible. And now I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, God, to show you what areas you need to let the Holy Spirit, through his word, start changing you. Over these next few moments, I want you, as we enter into a time of response, to let the Holy Spirit take the words that have been shared today and let them grow roots deep into your heart. Let them penetrate some of the hard areas where you have kind of built up a shield, not letting the truths of God penetrate, so that it can begin to transform you and make you the kind of person God wants you to be. Why do we do this? We do this because we love God. We do this because God loves us. And our hope is that in response to God's love for us, we are motivated to love him in return, to live like he wants us to live, to let his word get into us so that we can accomplish all of that. Because apart from him, the scriptures say, we can do nothing. The psalmist said in Psalm chapter 1 that he wants his life to be like a tree planted next to a river where it is nourished every day. And as we want to grow in our life as Christians, we've got to be planted in the river of God's word, letting it flow through us by the power of the Holy Spirit transforming us. So ask God today to give you a love and a desire and a craving for his word. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you what it means to live and love the word devotionally. And let him lead you to that place. As we respond, we're going to remember that this is all because God demonstrated his love in us, that while we were sinners and apart from him, he gave his life for us and he allowed himself to be sacrificed on a cross in our place. And when you feel you are ready today, when you feel like you've prayed and you've met with God, I invite you to get out of your seat, to come forward and to take a piece of bread, to dip it in a cup as a reminder of Christ's body broken for us and his blood shed for us. And let us live in response for what Christ did for us, giving us everything so that we could live for him. Father God, I pray that you move right now, that you touch hearts. God, if there's somebody in here who's never surrendered to you, I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, God, you would just break them open to receive your love and to enter into a relationship with you, to set aside religious actions and deeds and steps, and instead, God, fall into your loving arms saying, God, I love you. God, forgive me. Come into my life and transform me. Help me to fall in love with you. So God, I pray that you move through our service at this time, that you touch our hearts, that you pull us to you. Help us to remember that we did this. We do this because of you. In your name we pray. Amen. I will be up here at front. I'd love to pray with you about anything you're struggling with. We have prayer teams in the back. They're ready to pray with you as well. Respond as the Holy Spirit leads you today. Let's respond.